I'm excited to be here. It's always wonderful to follow a Canadian. Thank you for not... Actually, will you build a wall and pay for it so that you won't ever attack us? And thank you for curling. Any of you watch the Olympics? Any of you know what I'm talking about, curling? Apparently a couple of drunk Canadians went into a Yukon bar and they said, hey, if we can combine housework with bowling, we can actually make an Olympic team. And the good news is they'll never accuse us of using performance-enhancing drugs. It's so good to be on the program with the Canadian. I love you. I have to fly out today at 12 noon. Not at 12 noon. I have to leave here at 12 noon because you're going to lunch, and that's more important than anything I'll have to say. But I'm heading to South Bend, Indiana, where I'm picked up to go to Shipshewanee, Indiana, to spend 2 days with the Amish. Last year, I spoke in Branson, Missouri, to this big giant corporation. They sell roofing products and organic fertilizer for the agricultural communities. And I'm introduced. I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I get in there kind of late. I'm with my wife, and we check in, and I shower and put on my suit, and I go rolling into the ballroom, and half of the folks in the audience of about 4,000 people are Amish. And I'm scratching my head going, oh, my gosh, you know, what stories can I tell? You know, they don't watch TV, they don't have electricity, and so I start talking about some of my favorite things, and they're laughing. I'm thinking, they got TV stashed in their barn. Long story short, they were some of the most amazing people I've ever met, and if you remember back in the, it was a few years ago, I should have looked up the exact date, there was a mass murder in the Amish community in Pennsylvania. There are three major pockets of the Amish, one in Indiana, one in Ohio, and one in Pennsylvania, the most famous, obviously, in Pennsylvania. A UPS delivery gentleman shows up at an elementary school in the Amish community, opens fire, and kills all these little kids. And the story was so touching because the Amish people immediately went to the home of the parents of the shooter to help them grieve and to pass along their condolences. And then the Amish community, the parents of those children who had been murdered, attended the funeral of the shooter. And it was the greatest lesson in my lifetime on pure forgiveness. And we know in forgiveness that if you hold a grudge and spend your life being angry, it's like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And they stood in line and they bought my book and we couldn't have photographs taken. And all of a sudden I get this call from Verl Yoder, one of the leaders of the Amish community. Will you come to Shipshewanee and speak to our Amish community? And I'm always looking for the new adventure. I'm like, yeah, what can we do for you? Well, I definitely want to drive around in your horse and buggies. I want to go to church with you on Sunday. And turns out it was in a tent, sat on a hard bench for 3.5 hours while they spoke their language. I didn't have a clue. And I wanted to stay in Verl Yoder's home, no electricity, kerosene stove, kerosene little refrigerator. And we meet for breakfast, and they have a, he says, do you mind if we have a prayer? And I'm like, please. And they didn't say anything. They just closed their eyes. And I said, you know, in my religious tradition, we actually verbalize a prayer so that the person praying can actually be the spokesperson for everybody there, and we can together say amen. And he goes, okay, will you pray? I'm like, yeah. So I pray. They'll say amen. They take me over to this park, and here's this giant gathering of a few thousand Amish, and they have this feast, and they gather the people together, and Verl Yoder goes, Dan, do one of those prayers again. Bless the food and bless the people and bless our children like you did in my house. I'm like, okay. He calls back. So I'm spending 2 days training Amish in the art of sales and customer service. And why would I bring that up with you? Because I meet Verl Yoder and he makes $6.5 million a year. And his brother Orvin makes $12.5 million a year. He has the Rise and Roll Bakery that's so famous in the Midwest. You go into a Chicago eatery or someplace around the South Bend area and up into Michigan, and you can buy his donuts and his sweet rolls. It's magnificent. That's speech A. Speech B, I just drove down from Salt Lake City. I just flew in from St. Louis, and I got to fly back out to Shipshewani, and then I go to Dover Air Force Base for Saturday evening and then Sunday, which is mortuary affairs. I speak for the Air Force. That's where I was yesterday in St. Louis. I love our troops, and I'll honor them. Thanks for coming back, bro. You're the only one in here I know, and you left. Except Ernie Hewlett, the more famous one of you two. So on the way down, it was a tough drive. Any of you from Utah? I drive down, and as I turn the corner on University Avenue, there's... Oh, man, I should have never slammed you. Thanks. You're a good brother. On the way down, I turn off the off I-15, and my first distraction is... Krispy Kremes and the flashing light, and I have to pull over and get a couple of donuts. And then up the road, there's J-Dogs on the left, and I got to get a J-Dog because I'm addicted to the greatest hot dogs on the planet. And then I come onto campus, and my uncle is J. Reuben Clark, so the law school here at BYU campus is named after my uncle, so I have to drive around to make sure I can run into at least one person who thinks I'm a big deal. What does that have to do with you? A lot of us are distracted. Mr. Hartman talked about some of the things that we might think about that hold us back. Too much of this and too much of that and too much fun and too many distractions. We play golf with the same people. We do all the same things when we could be building our business and turn every day into a revenue day. But what occurred to me as I was just sitting there is that Krispy Kreme's has an owner who needs financial advice. J-Dogs has an owner who needs financial advice. And the Amish, you wouldn't suspect for one second they would need financial advice and succession planning and all of the things, the products and services that you bring to the table. So what I want to do in the limited time that I have, it's labeled taking it to the next level. And I never apologize for this 3-minute video that's shown, regardless of some people think, well, who do you think you are? I want you to visually see what it takes to connect and network at the highest level because you believe you should. So when I had an opportunity to co-host a fundraiser with Sir Richard Branson, did I jump on that opportunity? Did I question, wait a minute, he's so out of my league? Or did I figure out a way to make sure I positioned myself so that when I finally got to meet him, he would look at me at least as an asset, not as an equal, but as an asset who could help for the evening, help contribute to his family. Incidentally, his son changed his name to Sam Templeton so that when he moved to Hollywood, he could make it on his own instead of living off of daddy's reputation and name, which is so noble. So in the few minutes I have, I just want to talk about why you should take it to the next level. And isn't it interesting? I met David Buchwald when he was a young man, and I was speaking at the National Convention for Nationwide Insurance, and he was one of their top performers. And it was many years ago, and he was introduced by his wife. Interesting. They flew her in with David Buchwald, and his wife introduced him and simply said, I'm David Buchwald's wife. I have a career. I'm a professional. We have 2 children, 1 son, 1 daughter. I am so proud of what my husband does. And then he takes the stand and he blows our mind with his experience from September 11th. And then we run into each other again in Hawaii. I'm on the program doing a big deal. And now he's here and I can't wait. We swapped a little bit of information. I can't wait till I can host him and his family into Utah. His topic is so extraordinary. I guess bottom line is, I'm so grateful I didn't take no for an answer, that you as financial advisors know and believe in the significance of your products and services. And then you tie it into Hartman's wonderful kind of bow he tied around Buchwald's challenge, and that is, wait a minute. You're taking care of your clients. What about you? So right out of the chutes, because I'm a storyteller, may I blow your mind for the rest of your life? We always talk about, thank God I didn't take no for an answer. I helped my clients. I helped my clients. One of the boards I sit on is called the National Civic Leaders Board, the Secretary of the Air Force. Deborah James, Chief of Staff of the Air Force, four-star general, fingers now, gold fame, just took General Welsh's position. I've been on that board through four-star generals, many chiefs of staff. I go to the Pentagon at least five times a year. I'm invited into high-level meetings. I get the emails, maybe borderline classified, obviously. But when I go to that magnificent Pentagon, I'm fascinated by history, and I love to read the plaques and the citations and see the photographs and the paintings of all these hugely successful military heroes in every sense of the word. I'm also fascinated by what happened on September 11th because I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, speaking to the community in a breakfast sponsored by the healthcare world. And I caught a flight to JFK to catch a nonstop back here to Salt Lake City, Utah, so I could be here for my son's 16th birthday. And you all know what happened. And that's a great story how I got back to Utah in an 18-wheeler tractor trailer over 3 days for another day. But if you have a chance to go to the Pentagon, as I always snoop around, and you're really intrigued by what we're supposed to be learning from September 11th, the message from Buchwald is obviously urgency for the sake of our clients, our customers, our family. I want to take my sacred moments to make sure you walk out of this place so fired up and understand the significance of urgency. And for those of you who've heard me speak before, you know I love to quote quotes or write my own because I can't remember who said them. Today, you've never been this old before, and today you'll never be this young again, so right now matters, and every right now matters. Surviving advisors and the young folks in the room, like the superstars on the front row here that I've met before. Which means no matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future, which means you can't always control what happens, but you can always control what happens next. Are you with me? Here's my question. Does your life have an expiration date? Do you believe that your days are numbered? And if you have a Christian religious tradition, you can dig through the Old Testament. And in Job, it says our days are numbered. It's a rhetorical question, but I would guarantee that none of us should sign up for that class because no one has the definitive answer. No theologian, no philosopher, no existentialist. But what a concept. Does your life have an expiration date? Come with me to the Pentagon a few weeks ago. So where the jet hit the Pentagon on the morning of September 11th, they've created a memorial chapel. And this particular time, I got a VIP tour, so I actually asked some questions. And there was a general officer who gave me the VIP tour, and a big stud muffin hunk of burning love, Army Ranger, member of the 82nd Airborne, who was there on the morning of September 11th, who took out bodies and took out parts of the airplane, which completely diffuses those conspiracy theories that there was no jet, there were explosions, blah, 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 blah. And so I asked this general officer one-on-one, mano a mano, why this place for this memorial chapel? And he says it's because this is the exact spot that the jet crashed and collided into the Pentagon that morning. And this exact spot was the office of a government employee who had worked at the Pentagon for 50 years. He had never missed one day of work. He had never taken off one day for sick leave. And he had never taken a day off for vacation. And that morning was the first time he had ever taken a day off to go on vacation. He was not there in his office when the plane crashed into the Pentagon. And he was on the plane. I guarantee you will never be the same. And I'm so intense, as you can tell, but I love to laugh. I'm unafraid to cry, but I guarantee I've been waking up earlier every morning, and I've been watching my exercise, and I've been making sure I'm getting my sleep, even though that's kind of ironic because I'm staying up later. And I'm intensifying what I put in my briefcase to take on an airplane today so that when I land in South Bend, Indiana, and I get that treat of going that long distance in a horse and buggy, I have fulfilled my opportunity to fill my heart and fill my mind so that when I get off of that plane, I am better, more qualified, more focused than I was when I got on the plane at 1:50 this afternoon. So you're going to talk about how you can serve your customers, and it's an honor for me to be here at this Taggart Symposium. My niece married into the Taggart family. You ought to look into the history of how they made their dough, how they made their money. And with all due respect to my Clark family, Mark Taggart married into the Clark clan as well. He's a fortunate young man. So let's talk about taking it to the next level. And not saying, wow, let's put a time limit on our retirement. I love what Harmon said. I love that, brother. I hope we can do this together again sometime. Let's not even put a time limit on anything that we do except for right now, understanding that we can't control what happens, but we can always control what happens next. And I know some of you have heard me speak so many times. I was a closing main platform speaker at Million Dollar Roundtable, and I've done so much in the financial services world, especially up in Canada. And I just want to share one of my favorite experiences that also illustrates the significance of right now and time. With another question, do you believe you can leave this beautiful conference center different than you were when you arrived? Do you really understand and believe that one moment in time changes everything? I do. Proof. I was on the program with Henry Winkler, the Fonzie from Happy Days. Clearly one of the funniest guys I've ever met. Tragedy, some of you in this room are so young, you don't even know who I'm talking about. That's wrong. He was in a 1970s television sitcom, Happy Days, played the Fonzie, clearly one of the coolest dudes who ever lived. Henry Winkler and I, we finish our speeches, and he decides he wants to take some time off, treat himself to a matinee movie. So he slides in through the side exit door of the theater. As Henry Winkler shuffles himself through the aisle, he finds himself a vacant seat. As Henry Winkler sits down in the chair to look up at the movie screen, the little girl sitting right behind him smiles this giant smile. She points her finger and she slowly says, Fonzie. Henry Winkler immediately snaps into the Fonzie character from Happy Days. Hey, whoa. And the lady sitting next to the little girl passes out. Henry Winkler milks a moment. Whoa, I thought this only happened on TV drama. Hey, how cool is this? Whoa. Theater manager comes out, takes care of the woman's needs. She's lying in the aisle, cold pack on her forehead. She's asked one question. Why did you pass out? She said, my little girl is autistic. And that is the very first word she has ever spoken in her entire life. We got to fire up, my friends. We have got to fire up. I survived a plane crash in 1988. Stanton, Virginia, Shenandoah Valley Airport. Every time I get on an airplane since then, I think about that. Am I ready? And if not, why not? More than just succession planning, there's got to be something more to life than just what we're doing, and that's why I love showing that video clip of me going up to the edge of space. That doesn't happen to a lot of folks. And the reason why I was invited to board this U-2 reconnaissance aircraft was because of my philosophy that you all know. I'm just here to remind us that life is a bank. Life is a credit union. You deposit, you deposit, you deposit, and when it comes time for you to withdraw, the resources illuminate themselves, and people come out of the woodwork. And so yesterday, as I spoke at the Commander's Conference for Air Mobility Command at Scott Air Force Base in St. Louis, it was a free speech. And at the end of this week, after I go and train the Amish and I go to Dover Air Force Base, it's a selfish thing for me because I've actually had an opportunity to represent the United States Air Force in three dignified transfers where the remains of someone killed in action come on a C-17 land in Dover, Delaware. And you're there with the families as they gasp when they see the flag-draped coffin carried off the back of that jet. And of course I'm going to volunteer my time, but of course I have an agenda at some place in my life when I have a chance to go do something and interact with the general officers, and I do my best to fire them up, and they say, Clark, what can we do for you? We know what your speaker's fee is. We can do the numbers. And you volunteer, what can we do for you? I would say, I want to ride an F-16. I want to ride with the Thunderbirds. I want to fly in the B-2. I want to fly a B-1. And I've flown every single fighter jet and every bomber in the United States Air Force, except the F-35, the newest one, F-22. So I run into the general in the Pentagon. He goes, Clark, will you come and speak to the folks at Beale Air Force Base? I'm the new commander. I said, yeah. He said, what can we do for you? I said, I want to speak as many times as I can possibly speak, but I want to ride into U-2. He goes, we can do that. How cool is that? Because it's a classified mission, I can only tell you that at 70,000 feet above the Earth's surface, you see two-thirds of the state of California. At 80,000 feet, you see mapped outlines of America. And at 90,000 feet, you actually tear up. It's a spiritual experience I wish every one of you could have. And you believe you can reach out and touch the face of God. For over 4.5 hours, I sat in the sounds of silence, looking at the curvature of the earth, pondering eternity, looking, gazing into the endless blackness of space, wondering, what's it all about? Because this is a lot of space out here, and if this is all there is, that's a lot of wasted space. And when we landed, you know what I learned? Four major things we can take with us when we die. Education, we don't learn to know, we learn to do. All the information in the world is going to make a person successful. It's like the guy who has three PhDs, one in philosophy, one in psychology, one in sociology. He doesn't have a job, but at least he can explain why. I promise I'm not going to have you as my financial advisor because of what you know, and we're going to talk about that before I finish. It's about what you can help me do with what we know. Reason leads to conclusions, but it is emotion that leads to action. Put your laptop away. The bottom line definition of sales is the transference of trust. And the folks that you want to connect with at the highest level of networking are never in their offices anyway. By sharing in their passionate hobbies, participating with them in their recreational loves and their sports teams and sports organizations, and then attending their events to support their charitable cause of choice, allows us to connect at the heart and soul level, the emotional feeling level that actually immediately and quickly and maintains this level of trust, so that when you say, this is what I advise you to do, I say, you keep all that information to yourself. You send me some charts digitally so I can look at them at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I want to get on with why I should do business with you and how we're going to make this world a better place. Second thing we can take with us when we die, our character, what we do with adversity. My mentor, Zig Ziglar, he says the sale doesn't begin until the customer says no. You've all heard that. May I add to that just my own little personal story? I played football for 13 years total. One day in practice, the dream ended. We had a tackling drill. Coach blew the whistle. Two of us ran into each other full speed. Only parts of our bodies that made contact, Lyle's helmet and my helmet, collided in a head-on collision, crashed into each other. My right shoulder was smashed into the cutting edge of my fiberglass pads, and we slammed to the ground. When Lyle got off of me, my eye drooped. I had lost of speech. I couldn't talk anymore. My right side was paralyzed. My arm dangled helplessly at my side. I had compressed the 7 cervical vertebrae in my neck. I had severed the axillary nerve in my right deltoid muscle. And I suffered a grade level 2 concussion, which meant, if you've seen the movie Concussion, we didn't know a lot about concussions in those days. Just simply meant that night, I shook like a leaf. I perspired. I threw up on myself, and I cried myself to sleep, which apparently was a really stupid idea. Fast forward, I stayed paralyzed for 14 months. I went to 16 of the very best doctors in all of North America. Every one of them told me I would never get any better. Have you ever heard that? What happens if you believe it? We never get any better. Now that I've recovered, people ask me the oddest question. Clark, what took you so long? You see why I'm so into this idea of urgency? My gosh, tell the people you love that you love them today. You make sure that if you have quiet personal time, hours of personal time with a David Buchwald like I have, and you talk about the deeper lessons and how it affected him as a husband and as a father with his two little kids, and why he is willing to get on an airplane right after here and fly to Vegas to share his story one more time. Because we believe that one person in every one of our audiences, and in my case, one man and one woman, was hurting as badly as I was when I was hurt at the top of my game. And if you saw the stack of emails I have from all these years in the past that say, you know, I was going to kill myself, but after we listened and laughed, cried, decided not to, or you helped my child, or you helped save my marriage, and I didn't do any of that, but the stories and the purposes behind those stories and the messages that we share absolutely do. Remember, the character we can take with us when we die, how we deal with adversity. Interesting. So let me fast forward. I stayed paralyzed for 14 months. 16 doctors told me I'd never get better. As I started to get better, I was asked to speak. I stayed paralyzed because I was asking the wrong questions. I was asking the doctors how to get better when I should have been asking myself why. Once we answer why, figuring out the how-to is pretty simple. So my remaining time, let's just talk about why you should take your networking to the highest level. Let me introduce an acronym, PIE, Performance, Image, and Exposure. We need to perform consistently and exceptionally at the highest level. In a sports mindset, performance is just buying a ticket into the stadium. Every single one of you here at the Taggart Symposium are at high performance, or you wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't invest the time and money to come to this symposium. Congratulations. If you go into the corporate construct and you see everybody who's actually working at Adobe, at Microsoft, at Google, at Domo here in Utah, some of the great organizations, everyone inside that building working for that company has obviously understood the significance of performance. And most corporations and most companies pay for performance, but we are promoted for potential. I is image. Performance is only 10% of our opportunity and place of entry into networking at the highest level possible. Image is 30%. Of the formula required for us to network at the highest level and position ourselves in a different way. So what does that mean? If we increase our performance, if your product knowledge and your presentation and persuasive skills have been so polished that you exceed those in your office, those in your industry, those competitors who might be calling on the same clients or potential customers, the only thing you can do is work harder to increase your performance, which only gets you a better seat in the stadium. Image is what allows us to go from the sideline or from the stadium seats and actually play the game. But image, cultivate image, only allows us to play the game in our league. I guarantee every one of you men here would have someone compliment you about your spouse. Whoa, you outkicked your coverage. Whoa, she's so far out of your league. We all relate to that, do we not? Hey. You're so sweet. Thanks. Did you hear what she said? I have 2 extra hours. This is the coolest thing I have ever... I was just kidding, ma'am. You don't have to go. She's like, I'm out of here now. Yeah. She's like, my clothes are going to go out of style by the time you get through flapping your jaws, you know. It's okay. I'm glad I embarrassed you. Thank you. Image. You increase your performance, but that just gets you a better seat and maybe get you on the sideline. But in order to play the game in your league, It's about image, which begins when you pull up in your car. And people see the kind of car you drive. They see the clothes you wear. They see whether or not you're embarrassed or whether or not you have confidence, not a cocky strut like you sat on something hot. If you have to tell them that you are, then you aren't. It's that total package, articulation, refusing to tell an off-colored story, social graces, allowing people to trust you with their highest-end family members and clients. We cultivate the image of the level of the individual with whom we now want to network and connect. Which means now we start investigating what are their favorite sporting events. What are their favorite passionate hobbies and recreational experiences? What are their most magnificent and important and significant charities that you can now support? Because at that level, when we connect at that emotional heart to soul level, it immediately opens up the doors for trust. And oh, by the way, what do you do and how can we meet on that professional level? Reminding ourselves that money is only a byproduct of our personal relationships. Image allows us to play the game only in our league. Any of you soccer fans? Premier League? Why is that Premier League televised in the States and not the league from Toadsuck Ferry, Arkansas? There's not one. I just thought that was funnier than you did. Because you get a chance to see the elite athletes in the world. We watch World Cup so we can see Messi teed up against Ronaldo. We have these magnificent Beckhams in our world where we actually can say, my gosh, they are playing the game at such an extraordinary level. They inspire me. Can we put that in terms of financial advisors? How and what do we have to do to take our performance and our image to the highest level so that we have a chance to play in the Premier Leagues with the big boys and the big girls? It's exposure. P-I-E. Image is only 10% of the formula. Performance is only 10% of the formula. Image is 30% of the formula. And exposure is the other 60% of the formula. And exposure is basically explained as managing your exposure to those who can afford to pay your fee based, who can afford to buy the multi-million dollar life insurance policies with one signature. It's the reputation that my buddy here, Ernie Hewlett, has, where he spends an awful lot of money and time whining and dining customers and potential customers at the Utah Jazz basketball games. Because when I actually have a chance to do that with him, or some of us have sat next to each other in that experience, or I'm at a different place in that Delta Center, Vivint Center, whatever it's called this week, and I find Ernie Hewlett, he is always networking at the highest level, and he has people at the highest level sitting in his seats. It's incredible how easy it is for us to just take it to the next level. And no, it's not, it's simple. It's not always as easy as Daryl Nielsen here, one of our superstar heroes from Utah. Every time I've spoken at any incentive group, any qualifier trip that the insurance world puts on, he and his spouse were always there. Because his two best friends in the fraternity were John Huntsman and Bill Marriott. And he sold both of them their very first policies. Isn't that interesting? And it could be that simple. It's definitely that simple. Growing up, my dad says, I want you to identify the thoroughbreds of your generation. I played football and baseball at the University of Utah. I played against Jim McMahon here at BYU. Jim and I are still great friends because I realized he was a superstar. When he walked on the field, everyone on both teams was nervous. Because he stepped up to that center and you knew he was going to make something happen. And if you don't believe me, go watch the 1980 Holiday Bowl against the SMU Mustangs and just see what one guy can do when you believe in yourself and basically say, I'm here. Are you ready? And now he's suffering from dementia because of his concussions and part of that class action suit in the NFL. God bless him. So you saw my picture with Sir Richard Branson. I immediately get two calls from pretty high-level people, and they say, Clark, can you introduce us to Sir Richard Branson? I said, why? They said, well, we heard you were in this gala, and then we heard you did some big deal with this Sundown in Hollywood. Can you introduce us? I said, why? He said, both of them, because we want to invite him to sit on our board of directors. I said, I can't introduce you to Richard Branson, but you can introduce yourself to Richard Branson. He said, how do we do that? I said, you realize Sir Richard Branson's favorite recreational activity is kite surfing. And if you watch windsurfers, they have control of their little surfboard and their little miniature sail, and they can cruise around Bear Lake or Deer Creek or wherever the wind blows, and they can do their thing. When you're kite surfing, you strap on a parachute, and you have no control. So if you zoom in, everybody kite surfing has eyes this big. You try to read their lips because you don't hear that at mass or in church. And they're just at the mercy of Mother Nature. I hope I can stop before that cliff hits me right in the face. Can you imagine if only 1%, which is true, only 1% of the world's population actually engages in kite surfing? And Richard Branson happens to be one of them. That means they only go to certain areas, the Columbia River Gorge, the Mediterranean. And you decide that that's who you want to connect with. And so you focus in on some powerful quote like, it's not enough to say I will do my best. We must succeed in doing that which is necessary. And you're saying, what's important now? When? Oh my gosh, I better take the chance. I better invest in myself. I better do something about this. And so you buy the used gear. And you buy some old Twinkie psychedelically painted VW bus, so you feel like you fit in when you pull up into the beach and you get your equipment on top, and there's Sir Richard Branson, big eyes going, oh my gosh, you kite surf? Yeah. He says, well, let me help you put your equipment back on. You got it on backwards. And let me help you take your stuff, your equipment off the top of your little van, and let me help you. And you're saying, thank you, Mr. Branson. And he keeps an eye on you during the day, and he's at this high level, and you're struggling, and you're going, and pretty soon at the end of the day, what happens when you're putting your equipment away? Sir Richard Branson knows exactly where you've parked, and he shows up to help again. Hey, let me help you do that. Did you have fun? Wow, I sure hope you take this seriously. Not a lot of us do this, and this is so extraordinary. Hey, what are you doing afterwards? You know, we got some cocktails. We got some hors d'oeuvres. Would you like to join us? And all suddenly you're like, whoa, sure glad I brushed my teeth like last Tuesday. And you're invited into his inner circle. And because of psychological reciprocity, you ask him about him and you ask everybody at the table about themselves. And when people get through talking about themselves, it's created a natural moral obligation for them to actually ask us what we do and get us to talk about ourselves. What do? I'm a financial advisor. And I only work with those of significant high net worth. You know anybody? And because you've connected at a deeper level, what does he do? Oh my gosh, here's the names of a couple of folks. You tell them I sent you. In fact, my son, he's got a couple movies going on, but you got it. He needs you because he won't listen to dad. Whatever. And suddenly you've connected at such a high level. Now you've got to figure out a way to go back and make sure your performance and image start to match the language of leadership spoken in that occasion. And you start dressing like they do. Not always the case. The owner of the Utah Jazz, God bless his heart, Larry Miller, his uniform was never a coat and tie. He was the wealthiest man in America in a medium polo shirt. And he always wore gym shoes, khakis, and that medium polo shirt. Even when he's interviewed on national television. It's okay. Todd Peterson, my buddy who owns Vivint, billionaire. He always is in a t-shirt and a cap, even when he's interviewed on TV. I love it. We've got to figure out a way to focus in on what it is that we want to do and then believe we can connect and network at the highest level simply based on the formula P-I-E. Because I was given 10 minutes, let me just share a couple of stories and conclude by lip-syncing three Britney Spears songs. I have so many stories I want to share. I brought my book, The Art of Significance, Achieving the Level Beyond Success. And this spawned from one continuous experience that started when I went up into space. The Art of Significance, Achieving the Level Beyond Success. I finished my book tour, and the most frequently asked question was, Clark, how did you come up with such a provocative title? One of my football buddies, he was drafted into the National Football League in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles after 4 years in the league, ending his career at the Oakland Raiders. One day he walks out of practice, quits, never to play again. Why? He loved being a football player, but he hated playing football. Successful people get what they want, but those of us who are striving to live this life of significance actually want what we get at the end of the day so we don't die with our music still in us. So the last two things we can take with us when we die that I discovered when we landed from that excursion to the edge of space, first one was education, second one was character, how do we deal with adversity? The third one is our convictions. What do we believe about time and urgency? What do we believe about service before self? What do we believe about our purpose in life? Focusing in on what matters most, which is what lasts the longest, and then most significantly, which ties right back into Hartman and Buchwald, did my life matter? Did I leave a legacy? What's it really all about? And so what we need to focus in on, I suppose, in my few minutes is what can we do right now with what we have right now? And I suppose that allows me to share two stories. One of my favorites. I wear this bracelet. Do you have symbols in your office? Do you have symbols in your briefcase? Do you have symbols in your purse, your pocketbook, your wallet? Do you have a symbol on your refrigerator door that immediately triggers a memory and an excitement about, oh my gosh, I better do more right now? Every time I have a chance to speak for a 4-star general's commander's conference, I request an actual tour of his or her office. Why? If you come to my home, I have a huge wall of fame. I have pictures with every superstar you can imagine, and I've interviewed them, and it's more of a big deal to me than it is to any of you. But I still have limited space on my wall and in my trophy case and in my, you know, my wall of fame. I have drawers full of autographed pictures and experiences that I've shared with the world's superstars and the wealthiest. But I have a limited space on my wall of whose picture goes on the wall, and only those who trigger a story of inspiration of I better pull my head out right now make my wall. When you go into a 4-star general's office, I am always curious of a 35-year career. What made your wall? What's on your desk? I wear this bracelet because in 2005, I went to Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, throughout the AOR, as we call it, area of responsibility. And I was there for 16 days to fire up our troops. Spoke 23 times on 12 bases. And out on the USS Harry S. Truman aircraft carried over 30,000 of our bravest men and women. In Bagram, Afghanistan, remember the 82nd Airborne Army Ranger gave me this bracelet he made out of his parachute cord. Way cool because it immediately dries. I've never taken it off. I get out of the shower, it dries. I still love to surf. Get out of the ocean, it dries. Has a jump medal, miniature American flag, combat insignia, contact with the enemy stories for another day. I wear this bracelet to remind me that it's not enough for us to just practice what we preach. We must preach only what we practice. If you're going to sit in my living room with my spouse and you're going to convince me that I need a succession plan, you better have a succession plan so that you can speak as one having authority. It's not enough for us to just practice what we preach. We must preach only what we practice. So as public figures, and we all are, people are watching, managing our exposure to the right people who need our high-level advice and services and understanding and securities and the things that we sell and the annuities and all the packages that you have. So I decided a long time ago that I better elevate my commitment to our troops and take it to the highest level that I can with whatever I have. So many years ago, I decided every single time I saw an airman, a sailor, a marine, a soldier in an airport, I would buy him or her a meal. What a drag. No one ever told me they don't hang out all by themselves. They're always in groups of three, five. When they hear it's free food, there's a whistle in the men's room. Nine guys running out the door, down the concourse, in formation. Hey, 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 free Nathan's dogs, D5. And because I go to an airport to get on an airplane, you can't just click off character and click it off. I have to be the same off stage as I am on stage, or there's no credibility. I have to understand that in real estate, it's location, location, location. In the sales world and customer service world, especially financial advisors, it's about visibility, visibility, visibility. Doing the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do based on service before self. So obviously I better take the same level of commitment on board the planes because that's the reason why I'm there. Fortunate enough to fly Delta Airlines. I always fly first class. I always get a window seat. No one bothers me. I don't bother them. It's where I've written a lot of my books and songs on the road. I've boarded the Delta jet, first class, sitting in my window seat. They've served the beverages, and now the rest of the passengers start coming aboard the plane. You've seen it as I have. There's always at least one passenger dragging that 411-pound carry-on bag down the aisle, holding up everyone. If you're curious like me, you see two air holes drilled in the top. Aunt Shirley's inside. They refuse to splurge for an extra ticket. Shut up, quit moving. We're all going to get arrested. They're dragging her down the aisle. Takes 45 minutes to stick her up into the overhead, and there I am in my window seat, first class, sipping a beverage. Look left. All the passengers are stopped in the aisle, and stopped right on my row is a soldier in full uniform. So I chat him up. How you doing? I'm fine, sir. You coming or going? I'm just coming back from the desert, sir. They're always so polite. I said, where have you been? He says, I've been in Baghdad for 15 months, sir. I said, I bet you're excited to see your family. He gets emotional. He says, yeah, I sure hope my family's excited to see me. I said, guaranteed, bro. Welcome home. I said, I want to swap seats. I want you to sit in my seat. He goes, no, 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 sir. That's not necessary. I said, what do you mean it's not necessary? It's the least I can do. Flight attendant overhears me. Mr. Clark, it's so nice of you. I said, it's not so nice of me. It's the least I can do. You sit in my seat. You take care of him. You give him anything he wants. I'm taking your seat assignment. I'm going to the back of the plane to sit in your seat. I go to the back of the plane. I'm looking for a seat. Wouldn't you know it? He's sitting in a center seat between two chubby guys. Now, I've lost 41 pounds since I got through playing football, but I'm still 6'5", weighing in at 235. I show up. These two guys are looking up at me like, oh, no. I'm looking at them like, double no. Excuse me. Excuse me. I sit down. Oh, no. This is a 4.5-hour cross-country flight. Oh, no. That's what's going to happen to you the second you leave the Taggart Symposium. Because we're all here chipper and positive, saying everything's perfect. The second we leave, our relationships personally and professionally have not changed. So we default as human beings. Whoa, I'm so old, I bend over to pull up my socks, and I think, what else can I accomplish while I'm way down here? We start thinking about the nights we go to bed healthy and wake up injured, and all we did is lay there. Is that starting to happen to any of you? I wake up, my hips asleep, my foot hurts. I'm like, hey, 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 what's going on around here? I'm starting to stretch out in case something happens at 2 a.m. I'm sensitive to my hair. How are you, brother? Your hair has not moved since 1977. I always tell him that because I'm losing my hair and I'm growing it in places I don't even need it. Not a fair trade-off. My only hope is that the hair in my right ear will grow long enough I can comb it up over the top of my head and fake all of you out. What allowed me to sit up and stop treating them like objects in my way, like, oh, they couldn't afford my financial advice anyway? Amish, they can't have any money. They ride horse and buggies. Instead of analyzing our world and our opportunities as every single person matters, we have a tendency to judge. Moi, I'm so important. And I'm as guilty as anybody, and I need to slap my face every day to say, no, you're not. What allowed me to start treating them like fellow human beings with the knowledge that the same God who made you made me too was the memory of being downtown Baghdad when it was 141 degrees Fahrenheit. And on top of that, our soldiers, our Marines, our airmen, our sailors are in 85 pounds to 125 pounds of combat gear running towards the sound of the guns with bad guys trying to pick them off to keep them from safely returning to their families while we're at the mall. I hope you remember my story from the Pentagon, but I also hope you remember this slap in all of our faces. In the military, we give medals to those who are willing to sacrifice themselves so that others may live. And in the corporate world, we give bonuses to those who are willing to sacrifice others so that they may survive. We've got it bass-ackwards. And I challenge any one of us who cares as much as we all should care to step up and lead the way, lead the fight, to make sure that through service before self, with the attitude that when the water lake goes up, all the boats rise together, I will steal away customers and clients from every single one of you if they know that I'm part of something larger than myself, that I honor America, I don't sit down or kneel during the Star Spangled Banner. And I speak out. The story continues quickly. 4 minutes later, I look up, and the guy who was sitting next to me in first class comes wandering to the back of the plane. I said, "What's up?" He said, "You made us all feel guilty." I said, "What happened?" He said, "The next soldier got on board the plane, I gave him my seat." I said, "Good for you. Let me help you find yours." And there's justice in the universe. Because he's sitting in the row right in front of me in the center seat between two chubbier guys. He's so stuck, he can't even turn around and keep complaining. And by the time we took off, four guys who had been sitting in first class were now sitting in the back of the plane where we should have been all along to pay tribute to these amazing men who are willing to die so that we can gather together at the Taggart Symposium and laugh and cry and inspire each other to serve our fellow men and women so that they also leave that legacy of life behind that Hartman's famous for talking about. And the story doesn't end. I checked into my hotel that night and I got a really good night's sleep. You all know what I'm talking about. When you serve others and you deliver that death benefit check. I was there when the death benefit check was delivered to my sweet mother, which allowed her to keep her home and sustain her lifestyle. I went to sleep and thought, whoa, that was a good day. I was a Boy Scout again. And the next morning, I wake up, I shower, I shave, I put on my coat, my tie. I show up to the ballroom, 5,000 folks, national convention. And wouldn't you know it? The guy who introduces me is the guy who is sitting next to me in first class, CEO of this company. And we hadn't had a chance to get acquainted. He makes my introduction very intimate. And then he says, four of us in first class inspired each other to give our seats up to these soldiers to pay tribute to someone who deserved to have tribute paid to them when we didn't believe that we would ever get the credit. Moral to the story, people are watching. Bottom line definition of sales, the transference of trust, which means bottom line, wealth flows through you, not to you. You can get anything in this life that you want if you're willing to help enough other people get what they want. And if you're spending your whole day wondering if your glass is half empty or half full, you've missed the point. It's refillable. Thinking positively or thinking negatively does not fill up the glass. The pouring does. It's easier to act our way into positive thinking than it is to think our way into positive action. The sugar does not make the tea sweet. It's the stirring. It's the process of leaving here and doing what we can do on the plane. We did what we could do with what we had in that moment, and I challenge you to do the same. And if you ever question it, the last quote, under pressure, you don't step up your game. You succumb to the level of your preparation, training, and practice. Which means pressure is not something that is naturally there. It's created when you question your own ability. And when you know what you've been trained to do, there's never any question. Which means you understand that if you sweat more in peace, you will bleed less in war, with the guts to run towards the sound of the guns, not because it's expected by others, but because it's demanded of yourself. Which means exhaustion is acceptable, falling is acceptable, puking is acceptable, crawling is acceptable, blood, sweat, and tears are acceptable, heartache, heartbreak, disappointment, discouragement, sadness. They're all acceptable, but whining, blaming, complaining, and quitting are not. You cannot quit. It's a league rule. So if you ever decide to give up on yourself or quit, you will always quit during practice, never in a game. That's why we train and practice so hard. I congratulate you for your investment in yourself and coming to this Taggart Symposium. I appreciate the extra couple of minutes so I could share a story or two. God bless you for what you do. Buckwell illuminated that, yes, you matter, and never take no for an answer. You know something that your friends and potential clients and family members need to know. Be relentless. But hopefully I added to that, what about you? And especially, what about right now? Because I guarantee I'm not going to die with my music still in me. And I'm definitely not going to die alone. I want to share it with those who I care the most about. And in my personal life, Ernie Hewlett, and a few other folks, and a tie to John Homer from way, way back with his sense of integrity and service before self, and everybody else from the Cambridge group, but I see the Andrews up there smiling with his perfect hair. I love you. I honor all of you. And if I can ever be of service to your group or to your area, may I just give you a way to keep in touch with me, because I know that we become the average of the five people we associate with the most, which means we must be willing to pay any price and travel any distance to associate with extraordinary human beings. Will you please just write down this number? You can text me your name or email address. Get a lot of free stuff. I have videos that you can download on public speaking, on the creation of a story, on humor, whatever. 435-633-9160. I hope you'll keep in touch. Again, 435-633-9160. God bless America. Vote. God bless our troops. And God bless each of you for choosing the most noble and important and significant profession of all. Thanks for having me. You have a great day.